Welcome to the Growth Starts Here podcast. I'm Jamie Matuszek, owner and CEO of Bloom Communications. I've spent the last 30 years navigating business challenges, and I want to help you skip rungs on the ladder. In this podcast, we'll tackle strategies and marketing tactics to drive your business growth. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this episode. Hey, David, welcome to the Growth Starts Here podcast. I'm so excited that you're here with us today.
Hey, Jamie, so good to be with you.
I thought we could start by just a little brief introduction to our audience of who you are and a little bit about what you do and what your focus is.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, I am a transformation leadership coach and love to see vision and strategy come to life in people and organizations. I've been doing some manner of this for about 35 years. Wow. And mostly in the nonprofit church world. I was it was a very large church and production and all of that. So creating great teams was part of what I did. We filled 80 positions for 30 events every single week, and they were all volunteers. So keeping a great volunteer team, optimized and running smoothly, and very little turnover. And we didn't have leverage of a paycheck, right? So, I learned so much during that season. But then I went off into working with AVL integrators, that's audio, video, lighting, and doing like sound systems and things for large spaces, mostly churches. And I kind of learned this vision and strategy component just really kind of came to life in me. And it was how I was able to understand and learn what people's vision for. One of the terms that I love about vision is it's a picture of a desired future. And so we can apply that into our churches, our worship environment, but we can apply that into our businesses, and we can apply that to our own personal lives. And so, that really has kind of lit a fire under me to help people really to move from stuck and to thrive in life and in their organizations.
That's amazing. Well, as you know, Bloom works with a lot of nonprofits, and also mission-driven for-profit organizations, but that volunteer world, and I would even say even in nonprofits, you know, roles that where individuals have to carry a lot is a space it sounds like you know all too well. And really being able to encourage teams and grow teams and just all the things that come with that communication and organization, especially with groups of volunteers, that is a unique challenge. And I know that a lot of our listeners will appreciate the conversation today because that's their world. So it's great to know that you have such longstanding experience in that space and can really help to coach other nonprofit leaders through some of those challenges. So one of my questions too, as you were talking, it just came up, was, you know, it sounds like that experience really just had you forming this desire to help others. Is that why you stepped into leadership coaching? And is that sort of one of your goals? What are your passions?
Yeah, that's really interesting. In the church environment, doing what we did, I would say that our level of excellence was second to none. And we're doing this with volunteers. And so one of the things that really, fulfilled me, I guess is the right word to say, is seeing people do things that they never thought they could do before. Seeing people come in and learn a trade that they can now go out into the marketplace and earn a living at. And so that is one of the things that has just really excited me. And so I love to see people do things that they never thought they could do before.
Wow. That's awesome. That is great. And I know that leaders, you know, we as leaders, we, a lot of us hold that desire, and it's great to know there's resources out there like you that can help us get there. They can help us help other people on our team step into their passions and their strengths. And this really leads us to a big portion of our conversation today, and is that you made a focus on learning and becoming Working Genius certified.
Yeah.
And that is something that I am really passionate about. I'm getting even more so around this topic of how do you understand who your teams are, and really even who yourself is, quite frankly. Right.
Self-awareness, yeah.
So talk a little bit about just Working Genius and what it is.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I love Working Genius, and now it's from Patrick Lencioni and the Table Group. And I've always been a fan of Patrick Lencioni, all of his books from Death by Meeting and Five Dysfunctions of a Team, The Ideal Team Player. I mean, there's so many great resources from Patrick Lencioni and the Table Group. So whenever he came out with this assessment, the assessment came out before the book did. And so of course I took the assessment right away, and it just like, it's like one of those moments where things just like the light switch came on, you know, I'm like, oh, because there's some things that I was doing that kind of this just kind of turned the light on. But then there were some other things that it just revealed, oh my goodness, look how I could have been doing things differently. And so the Working Genius is an assessment. And there's dozens of assessments out there, right? I don't know if you're like me. I'm kind of an assessment junkie. I love taking assessments, you know.
Enneagram, and
yeah. Enneagram, DISC, you know, Strengths Finders. I mean, there's so many, and they're all great. But the thing about them is they're really all personality assessments. And the thing about Working Genius is it's like 20% personality, but 80% productivity tool. And I think that's one of the things that sets it apart. Plus, I am a fan of simple. I like simple. And I think simple brings clarity. And we all like clarity, right?
Yes.
So the Working Genius really is a simple, it's how work gets done with joy, energy, and fulfillment. And who doesn't want that?
Wow.
So, yeah. Sign me up. That's right. Yeah. So as we take this assessment, and the power of it is whenever we do it with our teams and we can see how people fit together. And I think we'll talk a little bit more about that. But it's just a fantastic tool for individually and collectively as a team.
Amazing. Yeah, we're definitely going to dig into more about how this can impact a team. So that's a little bit about just an overview. There are six types of Working Genius, and I thought this was really enlightening for individuals to understand, we're all so different. Because it really focuses on the unique attributes of our strengths and also some of those things that can catch us, right? Like maybe some of those things that we're not aware of about ourselves or that, you know, we learned that we're not super strong at. And so I wanted to take a moment and have you explain maybe a little bit about the six types.
Sure. Yeah. I'd be glad to. So simple, it spells out widget. So six types is WIDGET, widget. And we like to say we widget the work. So every job is a six letter job. So and so the way that we look at it is maybe like an elevation type. So W is at the top and maybe 30,000 feet. W is wonder. And wonder says, I wonder if there's a better way of doing this process. I wonder if there's a better way to recruit volunteers. I wonder if there's a better way to streamline this work that we have doing. Wonder just asks the questions. They ponder. They're okay with sitting around wondering, asking questions. So that's wonder. And then under wonder is invention. Invention says, there is a better way, And here's some ideas. So Wonder is kind of the creative space. They're coming up with ideas. And Wonder and Invention, that's a stage of work we call ideation. And then beyond that, we go into discernment. Discernment says, yeah, of those ideas, here's the one to go with. Or discernment might say, yeah, this is a really good idea, but maybe we need to tweak some things. And so might go back to the invention stage and then come back down to discernment. But discernment ultimately says, this is what we're doing. This is the way we're going. This is the project we're doing. This is who we're hiring or whatever. Whatever the case may be, discernment is the one that says, this is what we're doing. And then under discernment, I like to say this is kind of the decision line. Like the decision has been made. So far, everything's been kind of ethereal. You know, it's we're thinking about it. But now we come to galvanizing, the G, galvanizing. Galvanizing says, okay, team, here's what we're doing. Let's go. You know, we rally the troops and inspiring and motivating people to do this project. So under galvanizing, so discernment and galvanizing, that's the stage of work we call activation, which oftentimes we miss in business. But then under galvanizing is enablement. Enablement says, just tell me what to do and I'll get to work on it. They're the ones that come alongside to help, and they're worker bees. They're the ones that are getting the work done. And then under enablement is tenacity. Finally, we're kind of coming across the finish line. We're checking the box. So that T is tenacity. I don't know if I said that. So it's getting the work done. It's making sure that this project meets the specifications and the standards and everything that we set forth higher up in the elevation. They get it done. They get the project across the finish line. So that's simple widget. Yeah.
Right. That's amazing. I love the visual that goes with that, because it's like little wheels or
little cogs. Yeah.
Cogs. So
yeah, that's right.
It just shows how everyone just fits really nicely. Mm-hmm. So we'll try to show a visual of that as well. But
sure.
So as we were learning ourselves in Bloom about Working Genius, and we began to see how every person is so unique within those attributes, it was very eye-opening.
Yeah.
And it really, for everyone. So, you know, where there are visionaries and then there are the project manager people getting things done. And sometimes that can be in conflict, right? So that could cause frustration. If
That's
you
right.
aren't aware of your working genius or others on your team, it can cause frustration because there's just not an understanding.
That's right. Yeah. We talk about guilt and judgments, and this was kind of one of those aha moments, particularly during the workshop. It's like, oh, well, that's why. And right. So like for me, for example, I'm a WI. So if you remember the elevation, I'm up here at the top. I can ask a lot of questions and come up with ideas, but I get nothing done. Mm. And so I could really feel guilty about, oh, David, you're just one of those. It's all talk and no action. And that's what it feels like. And so I can experience a lot of guilt about that. But then there's a lot of ETs in the world, and ETs is the ones that are doing the work and getting it across the finish line. And so I can have judgment on them, like, man, well, why don't you come up with any ideas? Why aren't you doing? And so you see how we can feel guilty and then we can cast judgment. On the other hand, you know, the ET is saying, well, why don't you do anything? Why don't you get anything done? You know? And that's one of those really illuminating moments, is this guilt and judgment. And then we say, ah, well, that's just not how you're wired. This is not how you're made.
Right.
So yeah. So it's a great moment in our workshops to kind of discover that.
Yeah. How, as a leader, so for all the leaders listening out there, or maybe even someone that this is really resonating with, like, oh, I want to bring this forward to my, my leadership team, but talk a little bit about really the power this offers to a leader and a team, like why this is so incredibly important to understand about the individuals on their team.
Sure. Yeah. Well, hopefully what we've already talked about, you're beginning to understand the power of it. But I think achieve better results with less frustration. That would be huge. Who wouldn't want that, right? We also, there's improving employee engagement and retention. I mean, how much money do we spend on the hiring process?
Right.
You know, it's not just a monetary figure, but it's also this time and frustration. There's so much that goes along with that. You know, we like to say we move from chaos to cohesion. And so there's just kind of this beautiful stream that happens, you know. It's also about culture, where we create this culture where every member is being recognized for their contribution and their leverage. Those are being leveraged for a collective success. And because we see all of our pieces coming together and having the success collectively, right? It's not just one person that's standing out. It's because we all understand our role in the widget framework.
Yeah, that's awesome. What about, I would say one of the things that I really clued into is for the hiring process to, and so maybe you could take a look, a little bit of time and explain that deeper. But what I mean by that is we often gravitate to people like us in an interview process. So, you know, we end up hiring a lot of the same working geniuses. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh, I don't have a mix. I have a bunch of visionaries and idea generators, and there's no galvanizers to make sure this is happening. So, you know, I think that was something that really hit me through the process is ensuring, hey, this is something that you could be implemented, that assessment or in the hiring process to understand what where that individual fits.
Sure.
Have you seen that be a need for leaders as well?
Oh, for sure. And that's one of the things that the Working Genius Workshop does in particular, as all of your employees or all of your every member of your team takes this assessment. We create a team map, which shows people's, and we haven't really talked about this, but the idea behind Working Genius is everyone has two working geniuses. In other words, when I'm doing these things, it brings life to me. It's fulfilling. I can do this for 8 hours a day and I still got energy at the end of the day, right? But then you also have two working frustrations, and that whenever you do these things, you're like, I'm done. You do it for 2 hours. It's like, I'm just done. It just sucks the life out of you. And then you have two working competencies. And so whenever we do a team map and we discover where people's working geniuses are and where their working frustrations are, we can see kind of a larger picture. It's like, oh, look, we have a gap here. Like maybe we don't have any galvanizers. That's why our team doesn't seem motivated. It's like we have these great ideas and we got people that are wanting to do the work. We just don't have anybody that is in this activation stage that can really motivate our employees and inspire them to actually do the work, to cast the vision and to do it. So whenever we do this team map, it will expose these gaps in, you know, in the widget framework. And so, so then whenever we're hiring, it's like, well, we see we have this hole here. We really need to hire for this particular, like a galvanizer. We need to hire a galvanizer. So maybe our questions that we're asking in the interviewing process, or we're ascertaining if this is a good fit for our organization. Yeah, it really helps in the hiring process for sure.
I could even see that the job opening, like the description, could really highlight even those attributes so that we're, you know, like someone reading that job description or job opening is like, oh, that's me. That's exactly me.
So I think, or it's not me.
Hate that role.
Exactly. That would suck the life out of me.
Yes.
Which is me. I'm like, galvanizing is my frustration. I'm like, So I need people around me that are galvanizers for sure.
Yeah, I think, you know, for us, it opened our eyes to that as well. Mm-hmm. And for each individual. So yeah. In several of our roles, we often wear multiple hats, or we are accountable to different things. So we were able to see, you know, for a particular team member, as an example, mm-hmm. they might be creating social media content and they may do that really well. However, they truly enjoy, and their strength is in spreadsheets and financials yeah. and numbers and accounting. And so it's not that they don't necessarily do something well, but it really is it was really an eye opener. And it allowed her to say, you know what, even though I feel like I do this well, I don't enjoy it. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of my energy. Whereas when I sit down to do a financial spreadsheet, I feel like I am top of my game. I enjoy it. I'm good at it. It doesn't yeah. take me as much time. So that was really an eye opener for us, so that we could, to your point, then see like, okay, number one, we need to reassign some things.
Yeah.
And two, as we grow, we need to look for someone that could take that content creative piece off of that individual's plate mm-hmm. and allow her to really step more into that more administrative financial realm that she is really driven and drawn to.
Yeah. A couple of things on that, Jamie, is one is you're so right that somebody can be really good at their frustration. Mm. Right. So like maybe I'm really good at social media, but it sucks the life out of me. And right. that's when we experience burnout. Mm. Because you're so good at it, we're going to keep giving this to you. And we're going to give you even more because you're great at it. But it sucks the life out of me. Mm. And so the working genius kind of exposes that. And like, oh, you're like working in your frustration. No wonder you're feeling burned out. But then at the same time, we have people that are love doing something that you hate or is your frustration. And because I hate it, because it's my frustration, it sucks the life out of me. No one else could possibly love this. No, it's true. I love doing spreadsheets. I love doing numbers. And me, it's like, man, just drive bamboo between my fingernails. You know, I don't want to do that at all. And but someone else loves right. it. And so it's just one of the illuminating things about the working genius is it just kind of exposes all of that. And it's like, oh, man. And so we see teams really thriving and working together. And just like you mentioned, the cogs, I mean, it's like, oh, we work so well together. And now we just see this productivity, we see the efficiency, we see this fulfillment and collaboration too. You know, it's just such a healthy thing for our teams.
Yeah, I want to hit on that point you just made, and what I often see happen is exactly that. I can't stand this activity, or it really drains me or burns me out. So I'm not going to even ask anyone to do it because I'm afraid that I just don't want to put that on them.
Yeah. Right.
But to your point, it's like, no, ask, because I guarantee you they probably enjoy it. And I mean, perfect example between myself and our office manager. I feel that I don't necessarily love creating spreadsheets for tracking. Mm-hmm. And also my brain doesn't work that way. It's not something that I'm naturally gifted toward. So mm-hmm. it takes more time to try and think through what is the best way to organize this information. Whereas she came to me and said, listen, your spreadsheet, it's super confusing. I could knock something out, a framework out in 10 minutes. I guarantee you, just give me a shot at it and I'll get it done. And it came back 100 times better.
Yeah.
Whereas I spent an hour, she probably spent 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I think that's where that efficiency comes in as teams is, again, like, don't be afraid to really understand the working geniuses and ask someone to do something just because we don't like it, because I guarantee you it will save time. And of course, as leaders, it saves time, it saves money, it saves burnout, all of the things, you know, it really.
Well, there's so many things that work in just in that little scenario that you just mentioned. I mean, one is it's something that has to be done. It needs to be done.
Right.
Right. But you don't like doing it. And it's taking you a long time to do it. And you're the CEO, for crying out loud. You know, who needs to be doing that? However, there are some CEOs that get a lot of energy out of doing those spreadsheets. Mm-hmm. You're just not one of them.
Nope.
But then you have somebody else. And because you don't like doing that, you don't want to burden someone else with this.
Right.
But the truth is no, I want to do it. And it brings me energy. It brings me joy. And it's like,
yes,
what just happened there? Man, we just not just increased our efficiency, but we also increased morale. You know, we boosted someone or both. I mean, both people, you and her, both like experienced a boost, you know? Yeah, it's just a beautiful thing whenever we make these discoveries.
Yeah. Well, as we were coming up on the end of our chat today, I wanted you to take a moment to just explain a little bit about the Working Genius workshop that you lead, because everyone on the other side of this, I truly believe, needs to step in to having this workshop for their teams. So talk a little bit about what the workshop looks like, what is a great number of people, and how is that normally framed, whether it's in person, it's online, or it's all the above, so they can begin to take advantage of that.
Yeah. Well, I will say, ideally, it's in person. I far prefer to do it in person. Can be done online. I think we did yours online. Mm-hmm. And because a lot of organizations like yours have remote employees. And so so I get it. You know, we do it online. But it starts with the assessment. I'll tell you the process is first the leader. Like in your case, it was you. I present to you the assessment. You take the assessment. And then we will have a pre-workshop meeting, and we'll go through your assessment. We'll talk about the expectations for the workshop. And then the workshop is 4 hours, half day is about ideal for the workshop. Mm-hmm. And the ideal number for that workshop, I like between 6 and maybe 20. If it gets more than 20, then the dynamics of the workshop kind of changes. But I think also, even with the larger organizations, you probably have smaller teams in that organization.
Right.
So having those teams work together. So you might even work on the executive level. So you have, you know, maybe you have 6 people in that workshop, and then you work on their teams. And so you just kind of, I think ideally it's 6 to 12 people. I think that's kind of the sweet spot. Now you can do any size, just the dynamics of it changed quite a bit.
Sure.
But in that pre-workshop meeting with the leader, we're talking about the expectations for that meeting. Because we want to lead as a leader, we want to lead with our own vulnerability. And so we lead by example. And so we talk about that in our pre-workshop. And then as the workshop unfolds, some of those things just come out. And then we will we'll present a team map during the workshop so everybody can see that. We'll talk about it, each member's working genius profile. We talk about pairings. So like I talked about a WI. I'm a WI. So that pairing, there's a description for that. We'll talk about those descriptions for each member. After the workshop, we'll have a follow-up afterwards just to see what you thought. How can we keep this going? Because really there's a language that makes it most effective. Like, just carry on that language after the workshop, you know. Hey, we just need to be in the ideation stage of things right now. We're not in implementation. So, you know, which creates effective meetings too, by the way. Mm-hmm. I know we're running out of time, but those meetings are really important, where I like to have creative meetings, ideation type meetings. Well, you get someone that's in the enablement and tenacity part in that meeting, and they're like, well, we can't do that because we don't have the money. We don't have the infrastructure. We don't have the resources. We don't have the people. We don't, it's like all the things that we don't have. It's like, that's not this meeting. This meeting is an ideation meeting. We come up with crazy ideas here. But then here's the crazy thing is you get further along. You're in the implementation stage of work. And now you get this person with the, hey, I got an idea. And you just kind of derail the whole process, man. We're like 2 weeks out from launch and you're coming in with a new idea. No. And so understanding the stage of work.
Yeah.
And these are some of the things that we'll go over in our workshop. And it's so fun. It's so fun just to see teams come away from there like, yeah, this is, we got it, man. And so just continuing on that language, we widget the work. You know, that's one of the things that we'll say is we widget the work. And so you understand each person's profile and where they fit in, you know, the stage of work that we're in. So,
right.
The idea is we're just creating amazing processes and culture environments where people can really thrive. Jamie, I did want to mention that we are offering to one nonprofit a month $500 for this workshop. Plus $25 a head. That's for the assessment.
Okay.
And so it's a flat fee of $500. Now, if I have to travel, then there'll be some travel expenses that they'll need to be included, but it's a $500, which is typically for six people, it's about $3,200. So that's an incredible savings, but I'm wanting to gift that to one nonprofit a month. So just wanted to make that mention.
Yeah, no, that's great. Because I was just, before you shared that, I was just going to share that this is phenomenal for professional development. It's phenomenal for culture building and for nonprofits specifically. Yes, that leadership team, it's wonderful for leadership teams. It's also great for boards and board retreats.
Yeah.
So if a nonprofit is really desiring to do something unique and different and really impactful at their board retreat, this would be it. We work with all sizes of nonprofits, and many have, you know, marketing teams or development teams. So if there are multiple people within a group such as that, it's also a great scenario for that. There's just so many uses. And of course, for for-profit, mission-driven organizations, executive leadership teams, your marketing team, your finance team, your accounting team, really helping to create understanding across groups of the organization. So those are just some applications, but yeah, I think just it's a no-brainer for professional development, and employees are desiring that.
Yeah,
they really desire, we hear it all the time from organizations we work with, and I'm sure you do too, is how do we create more connection? How do we create more cohesion? Our team members desire training, but we don't have a huge training budget. Well, this is one training and fun experience at a very nominal cost, even at your normal cost. So it's well worth the investment. And then the team I know will definitely appreciate it. So we'll continue to share with our groups of how valuable this is. And it just was a reminder to me too, like, you know what? We need a refresher over here at Bloom too. but as we wrap up today, David, I know that you read, you research, you listen to podcasts, and I love to end our sessions with just a recommendation that you would have for our audience in that regard.
For books or
A podcast that you really enjoy that you're like, this is a must listen.
Well, I don't know how much it works with what we've been talking about today. However, I don't know that it doesn't, because hospitality, I think, plays a part in all of our businesses, everything that we do. And one of my top five books of all time is a relatively new book. It's been out for a couple of years now, I think. It's from Will Goddara. He's the author of this, and it's called Unreasonable Hospitality. Oh. And he was a co-owner of the world's number one restaurant. Number one restaurant in the world, 11 Madison Park in New York City. And he shares a lot of his experiences. And there's so many takeaways from this book that we can apply into our own businesses and how we interact and how we create experiences, not just for our customers, but what about if we were to create experiences for our team? And wow. So it's just an amazing, amazing book. I think The Working Genius has a podcast, so you can go to Patrick Lencioni and check that podcast out. I am an avid podcast listener, and I listen to books. Maybe I can't say I read books, but I listen to books, and I listen to a lot of books. But that's probably my favorite one right now is Unreasonable Hospitality.
All right, awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Thanks so much for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And all you leaders out there, let's get going. Let's learn our working genius.
Yeah, for sure. Jamie, thanks so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure to be with you.
All righty. Catch you next time.
Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and contact us at hello@bloomcommunications.com if you're ready for business growth.